Good. What are you up to? What have you been up to? You've just put Jem to bed. There you go.
I just put my darling third grader to bed. She's very cute. She still likes for one of us. I mean, I'm less so to do that. But Jeff still, I would say most nights just lays with her, gets her to fall asleep. And that's what they do. That's their little routine. They just cozy there. And actually, as it would have it, they both fall asleep. So I kind of say goodnight to both of them. He's like, I'm just going to lay here for 2 minutes. And then that, of course, that 2 minutes turns into like all night. And I was like, you're right. But these are the moments. And as a, you know, as a parent, you know that they're not there forever. So
yeah,
I do try to be mindful of taking it all in because it's a sweet little thing. And I hope that she always wants me to cuddle with her at night. So yes,
yeah,
I did just get to do that. And then we got to kind of, you and I were chatting earlier about all the places you were going in the next month. And we said that you're headed to Nashville for one of them. And that just sounded really cool. I was thinking to myself, I need to like start making a list of places, not internationally that I have never been to, but I'd like to make places of like, you know, spots in the US that I like would love to just go to for a weekend. And Nashville is definitely where I'd love to do like a weekend there.
Yeah. And it's so funny, isn't it? Because we often look outside of our country. I do it all the time, evidently, because I'm going places. But I also love, like, this past weekend, it'll be several weeks after this podcast comes out, but this last weekend I was on Waiheke Island, which is a half-hour ferry ride from home with two of my best girlfriends. And it was just, it felt like we weren't in Auckland at all. And, you know, there are so many lovely places around our country that I also love exploring. So
and we actually, it's good that you remind us that too, because when you get your butt out here to California on one of these trips, to Northern, we can have that experience, because it is amazing how many like little spots you can get to, and they're like an hour and a half away, and you feel completely like changed. You're like, oh my God. Cause you not only appreciate that connection that you have to yourself or whoever you're with, but you're also like, I can get this and I don't have to go far at all. And that's just brilliant to me.
I know. Yeah, you know? I know it. Yeah. It feels really nice.
It is. So I'm excited. But Nashville is kind of like one of those places that's just sort of like on the radar. But I do think it's funny because all the years, my whole life of living in the US, I feel like certain places have like become more popular or like on people's radars to go to.
Yes. And Nashville would be one of them.
Yeah. I don't know that like Nashville's always been fine. You know what I mean? And I think people have definitely lived there and appreciate their place, but like for people outside of Nashville, it's like, ooh, that's kind of a destination spot, or like, you know,
oh, cool.
I'll speak for my friends. So I'll speak for here, but yes, it seems like a cool spot to go for a weekend. So
yeah,
I will be living vicariously as one does with your travels, and you'll have lots of good tales to tell when you return.
We'll update accordingly.
I love that.
Yeah.
I was very inspired and moved. We did a live, you and I did. And we were talking about what happens sometimes for people when, and I get a little bit mixed up in this too, but when you've had a day of it, like, and usually it comes from like, I just had a crazy day and I was really stressed out and I just ate everything, and not even like bad everything, but just ate everything.
Yeah.
And then there's always this knee jerk to, I'm going to do a 5-day cleanse.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which always. I hear all the time.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so I just don't, number one, why do people want to do that? Why do they want to do, where did they hear along the way that a 5-day cleanse after kind of having an indulgent
weekend? Yeah. Yeah.
Why would they think that?
I guess it's anything that where you feel that you've sort of, you've overdone it or you're indulged. I think, like, I'm just thinking off the top of my head, like part of it is if you've overindulged in very rich foods, like it's like you sort of feel a bit sluggish, you feel a bit full, and you don't feel your usual energetic self because of, you know, the fuel going in. It's just a lot of excess stuff, right? So part of the feeling of, you know, wanting to cleanse or detox, don't you think it comes from the sense of, I just want to feel a bit lighter? And so if I eat a little less and if I focus on vegetables and you know, green juices, and there's that sort of feeling of lightness that comes from knowing that you're putting some good stuff in your system. Whereas, you know, for a weekend you might have, or even a day, you might have, like, I don't know, if you know, pick any sort of Easter's coming up. So you might have had like 3 hot cross buns. You might have had all of your chocolate marshmallow eggs and a big Easter dinner.
Chocolate marshmallow eggs.
Yeah, I'm people Jewish. Love it.
Easter candy is fantastic. But yeah, so you've had all that, and then, but is it a physical feeling, but it's also a psychological feeling?
Don't you think?
Yeah. I guess in where you and I are so great. Yes. Like clinically, like I think the body does kind of feel a little bit full, but I always feel that there's also this thing of like, I did this, therefore I almost have to like repent or do this very dramatic other thing to rid the experience that I did over here. So I guess that's, so in some ways, maybe the cleanse is due to both, like a physical feeling if I just want to feel a little bit lighter, and then maybe like a mental punishment.
Yeah. I see punishment, but it wouldn't be viewed always as punishment. I think like sometimes people see it as an opportunity to sort of to lighten reset. The load, and they mm-hmm. feel excited by that. And I don't think necessarily that's a terrible thing if it was like just a day of eating a little bit lighter or whatever. But if it is built in punishment and the psychological aspect of it is one has negative connotations, then, I mean, let's just get real with people about it. Like if you overeat on one day, it makes next to zero difference to your overall progress towards your goals. So even if you overate by 1,000 to 2,000 calories, which will feel huge, particularly if, for example, you're on a fat loss plan and your calorie budget, if you like, for a day might be, say, 1,700 calories. If you eat 2,700 calories, like in your mind, you've absolutely catastrophized it. But that you might only store a fraction of that as fat. So the rest of it is burnt off through increased thermogenesis, which is the process of digesting food, particularly carbohydrate. And studies show that if you overeat X number of calories through carbohydrate, which is often, you know, people eat cakes, which are fat and carbs, but bread and all the rest of it, like we burn it off. So our energy expenditure increases. Some of it will be stored as glycogen. So glycogen is muscle carbohydrate stores. So that'll absolutely increase the scale the next day, but it's not fat. It's just your body storing energy to be used later. And then a lot of it is wasted as heat by a metabolic inefficiency, you know, like because there's nowhere for this stuff to go. So your body just sort of gets rid of it. So even if you're having the pizza, the dessert, the wine, the snacks, and you've made a real good go of it for one day, it does not mean you have to sort of enter this like punishing 5-day detox to, or you need to, you know, double your energy expenditure the next day. Like you literally just need to get back on track and your weight will eventually settle down after a couple of days and everything will go back to normal.
So but there was something you said, and I love that. There's something that you said, like, so like obviously one day, like your body doesn't go back to kind of what you were saying earlier. Like it doesn't reset, you know, we think like, oh, the next day is like the reset or something. Explain that.
Yeah. So you're like, if we think about it from a calorie perspective, like it's not like every 24 hours, your little clock resets in your body. So anything you haven't used for calories just will get stored. If you have burned more calories than you have ingested that particular day, you'll store X amount and then you'll reset and start again. Like think of your calorie budget across a week. Like it's a much more realistic reflection of how the body actually acts. And so if you overeat, even by let's call it 2,000 calories, if you overeat on one, which is a significant amount, then you literally, if I do the maths on that, and I will do the maths, 2,000 divided by 7, that is an extra, well, it's an extra 285 calories in a day. So it is, so for anyone in a fat loss phase, you literally, for that week, it might be just a week where you're maintaining your weight as opposed to losing it. And even if we're more realistic, like let's say, you end up having an entire packet of a 150-gram packet of potato chips.
Yes.
So you end up actually overeating by, say, 800 calories. And that's your big sort of binge for the week, which obviously it's not ideal because no one would feel amazing after doing that. It's an extra 115 calories a day. You literally, like, that is it. That is nothing over the course of a week.
Yeah, that was that one. That was like super, like, you know, of course, like it's not like you have an additional 1,000 calories that day, but over the course of the week, it's like 150 calories. That's really nominal. So I think, I almost needed for that to be broken down in my brain. Cause that just did not make, I was like, oh God, I've never thought about it like that, you know?
Yeah.
And then I do think about the reset too. Like I always think, oh, I had a really bad night. And then you're resetting the next day, but you're saying like, that's not really what would you say to like a person who thinks that what's the reframe there?
Yeah. The reframe is what I've just said about the calorie budget. It's an average across a week. This is how your body responds. So if you just go back to what you would otherwise do, so you don't need to throw the baby out with the bathwater. This
just
is not
a business.
Go back
usual.
To business. Business as usual. Everything will settle down. The scale weight will spike, but it was mostly water. And as long as you make sure you hydrate well the next day, because you're probably dehydrated because of additional sort of like, you know, sugar and stuff can do that and additional sodium. But that additional spike on the scales is just water and food volume. It is not fat. So if you just go back to business as usual.
Water and food volume, that's also humongous. Why do people think it's fat?
Because they feel like because they've literally eaten 1,000 calories and so extra, right? So they will think, oh my God, I've totally ruined everything. Whenever anyone does something, if they're in a fat loss phase and they haven't got the right headspace around it or really had a good frame of what it actually is, they'll catastrophize everything, Jess. It'll be an extra 100 calories of, you know, I accidentally weighed 200 grams of chicken as opposed to 150. You know, they catastrophize these decisions. Whereas, so they think that they will literally think they would have laid down fat because one, they're gaining weight on the scales, and two, they overate. So, I mean, those two things in of themselves, they'll be
water
all right.
Water and food volume.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not
totally.
Fat.
No. And God. So the scale weight. And the other thing is, if you've had a few extra calories on that day, but the next day you'll probably move more. You know,
I said that to you last time too. Like I always laugh because the next day I always have so much energy.
Yeah, you do. You have a awesome workout. You're much more likely to be fidgety. You walk around a bit more. You'll train better. So all of these things will increase your overall energy expenditure, which just further helps sort of calibrate in the direction you want. The mistake that people make is the psychological aspect of it is for them that overtakes the rational brain as to their next steps. And so because they're like, oh, well, I failed now. So they'll end up like just going, whatever, it's not worth it. I'll start again on Monday. And then they'll have a series of days of overeating. That's the problem.
Ah, that's the psychological problem, is that people feel like they've already done themselves in. And so, well, now I've already done myself in. So what's another 2 or 3 days of continuing to do myself in? And that's not the healthiest way to look at it.
And that's actually doing you in. That right Boom. There is doing you in. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I think these conversations are so important because we not only have them when it comes to food, but I think we just have them in life, you know, like, fuck it. I did something, you know, I shouldn't have done, Mark, whatever. And so like, and then you just, then one day can easily become 4 or 5 days. And I can guarantee it's much harder to like pull your mood and narrative out of 4 to 5 days of doing that than versus one. It's easy to like get back to how you want to feel after one, but it's amazing how often we throw, you know, again, I'll just use your words, but baby with the bathwater, but it is super important to know that that is water weight on the scale and food volume. And I think that is so critical.
Yeah. 100%.
You know, to remember that.
Yeah.
And also to just have a sense that the calories doesn't start over again. It's not a new day. Therefore you begin. It's like, it's literally look at it in the course of the week. So it's not what you eat in one day. It's what you eat in the week.
Yeah, it is. And so just try and just make choices that align with your goals for the rest of the week. you know, yeah. and then you'll be just in a much better headspace about the whole thing and emotionally. And all of this is emotional. Like, we just get so hijacked by what we see, yes, on the scales and our own behavior, whereas we just have to be more neutral around it, mm, you know, and because things like, you know, it's another conversation, but food gets put on a pedestal as well. You know, it's like, it's the be all and end all, but there are so many other things that we could like be paying attention to that are just so much more important.
Do you feel, I mean, obviously you don't, because this is just not something that is a struggle for you, but I was telling you earlier that sometimes I get hijacked in my thought process. Like, I'm going along just fine. I find, when I'm thinking about my protein in our conversations, I have that kind of afternoon low energy dip. And so sometimes that's when I'll just, when I'm better, but I'll have a couple of peanut butter, those little mini little pieces of chocolate or whatever, when I know that I could probably get a lot more bang for my buck if I just had, you know, some almond milk, some protein powder, and some, you know, frozen berries. So, but sometimes the narrative in that moment is that I shouldn't have that, because that's more food than I need. Like, I'll go into surplus mode if I do that. So that's kind of where I sometimes get myself hijacked. So you would probably say to me in that moment, like, you know, don't put it on a pedestal, like, just see it for what it is. Like, this is this amount of calories and this amount of protein and this will give you this amount of energy.
Yeah. Like, 100%. Kind of
probably what you would tell me.
Yeah, it is. And then it's funny, because I was just looking at your spreadsheet before, mm-hmm, and that protein is not going to waste. That extra protein, you need it. So you, cool, need to be having that.
Okay, in fact,
it's actually, like, you're doing yourself a service. Whereas it's sort of, I think people get confused when they think about food volume as well. Like, I,
yes,
think volume equals more. And sure, it means more on the plate, but it seldom does it mean more calories. Like, if you think about
that one, I get tripped up on.
Yeah.
That little,
so many people
right
do
there, I get really tripped up on. And it's great, because I didn't even have the words or the wherewithal to understand that's where I was getting tripped on. But
yeah,
say it again one more time.
Yeah. So food volume, you've got more food on your plate, but it's hardly ever more calories than, say, 4 peanut butter mini cups. And I think this is where tracking really helps. Not,
yeah,
just writing it down, but in an app, because,
yeah,
you literally will see
that's
the
true
values attached to the food. And maybe, Jess, I don't know, you could, like, maybe even for one day, if you just tracked your food in an app with a food scale, not just eyeballing it, because you'd just be throwing, like blindfolded throwing darts at a dartboard. It would just be all over the show, because, as we know, people always underestimate some foods and overestimate others. But
yes,
Universal you stops catastrophizing what's going in, actually.
Yes.
That's,
yeah,
it. That's it.
Yeah.
So you can be much more objective. So instead of being like, this is not just you, it's so many people get tripped up by this. Instead of being like, oh, but it feels like I'm having another meal, you'll be,
yes,
like, hello, that's 150 calories, but I was having 300 calories with these 6 little mini.
It is exactly it.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. And even if you can't bring yourself to track the entire day, even if in the moment you're just doing the check, like,
yeah,
you know what, I feel like I've had a lot of protein today, but if I think about it, I've actually really only had 40 grams. So if, mm-hmm, I'm going to get close to my target of 130, I better do something about this now.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Get to business. That's why the protein goals are so important for everybody, just so you know, because, like, it gives you a very clear focus on,
yeah,
what you're going after. And when you're,
yeah,
going after that, then you're right. It's like, what is on my plate isn't it, like, the volume is okay, because it's like,
yeah,
it's the mustard or the mayo thing, right? It's,
yeah,
like,
and also for everyone, they've done studies, when you overeat protein, you just burn more energy. You literally cannot.
That is
gain
crazy.
Weight.
Say that one more time.
Yeah. When you overeat on protein, you literally burn more calories. Like, they've done studies of overfeeding protein. One in particular I'm thinking of was from Bill Campbell's lab. They overate on calories by 250 a day, which as we've just talked about, is fairly significant on a day-by-day basis if you were to continue to do it, yet they lost more weight because...
I'm freaking believe this is amazing. It's because so this is a true story here.
Yeah, because they overeat, they overate their protein calories. So protein is really protective in that sense.
And so they have more energy.
Yeah.
I love it. It definitely is, no pun intended, food for thought, but it's food for life. It's food for thought that helps you with your life. Cause I think these, again, when you have these kind of systems that you're operating from, you feel a lot more rational about something that can feel, I always say I'm an emotional person. So sometimes it's very helpful for me to be a little more rational in my thinking because, you know, it's just an easier existence and it makes more sense. It's 100%. More logical. Right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
Thank you for bringing me back down to earth. We're eating more protein as we speak. It's my family. You put one to bed and then one comes home from practice and wants his third dinner.
Yeah,
here we go.
Fair enough. He needs it.
Yes. This is a constant source of conversation in our family.
Yes.
How much protein did you get? Yeah. How much energy did you burn? And then what are you having as a result of that? So, but thank you. That's a really, I think it's so helpful. I think because clearly if I grapple with it, I'm sure that plenty of people are thinking about it too. So it's the volume conversation is real.
Totally. Totally.
What are you grateful for today?
I am grateful that I'm like 2 days out from going over to sort of sitting on the plane and doing this Boston Marathon that we've had in the books for a couple of years.
Such a big deal, Mix. Boston is the Boston Marathon. I mean, at least this is something over on this side of the pond is a big, big deal. People spend many, many moons. This is like a bucket list marathon.
Yeah.
So, nice you're doing one. It. You've never done this before, right?
No,
your first
not
Boston Marathon.
Yeah, amazing.
This is very exciting. Yeah, it really is. I'm excited.
First and only, probably, because there are just so many other things that you can do, right?
I'm here. I will support you with whatever. If it ends up being your first and only, then great. If you love it so much, then maybe I'll think about cheering you on it next year.
Nice one. What about you, Jess? What are you grateful for?
Thank you. I'm grateful for perspective. I'm grateful for the clarity that our podcast always seems to bring to me. So I'm so happy for that and happy to be with you. And I'm excited for your adventures. I'm excited for the stories we will have for both of our adventures when we return back. And so just opportunities. I think I'm grateful for that.
Yeah.
Love it. Yay you.
Yes. Thanks, Jess. All right, girl.
Sleep well. You're going to need it.
Yeah, you.
Sleep very well for the next few days and load up on all that energy. All right, girl. Have a good night.
See you later. Bye.